Initially, I didn't think the Congress cared about the state of New York, about local governments in the state of New York. But now, I think it's a different story. We're starting to see 35, 40 states experience what New York State went through. And so maybe the Congress has their attention now that local governments truly need to get help here to help their local economies, to keep people employed.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus, and on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we'll listen to my conversation with Stephen Aquario, the Executive Director of the New York State Association of Counties. As you can imagine, the counties are in a bind right now during the coronavirus pandemic, with revenue sharply down and mixed signals from Washington about federal aid.
Local governments really have been the front lines of the COVID battle. This has been an invisible enemy that was thrust upon us as a human people. It just came out of nowhere. And to help people, the local governments had to stand up immediately and put in place a shield to protect us, to protect our stores, our economy, our way of life. Of course, it was federally funded and supported through FEMA and through other federal agencies, state-managed, but it was executed at the local government level. And as the days went on and the impact of COVID to the public health crisis, very early on, Ian, we started to see and track and trace not just the virus, but the actual economic impact to our community, to those that were unemployed. Would those businesses return to Main Street? Would they be able to have a job when we came out the other side of this? So the economic impact was immediately felt almost as soon as the public health side of the crisis happened. Local governments immediately braced for an economic injury, and we're very concerned about this for a number of reasons. One, the length of time, the severity of the Great Recession. Of course, if you look back to 2009, it took us 10 years as a state to get out of that Great Recession. That crisis in 2009 took us almost all the way to 2020 to recover. What will be the recovery through the COVID crisis remains a question mark.
What about the possibility of the second wave? You know, Governor Cuomo said on this station a few days ago that he thought it was, you know, highly likely we'd have a second wave, that just a matter of time. Now, as we speak today, we're seeing massive shutdowns in California. So can counties survive a second shutdown if that has to happen in New York?
Well, we certainly don't want to live through the mental anguish, the physical anguish, the number of lives that were lost and the number of lives that were changed and altered forever. Nobody wants to relive that in the state of New York. We were the hardest hit during the pandemic. We did learn a lot through the last COVID crisis. The last 100 days taught us a lot of things. It taught us about hospital capacity, the role of counties to assist with personal protective equipment to make sure our hospitals have that equipment, the clinics that we have, the nursing homes. Why do the nursing homes get disproportionately impacted when that's where the virus started in the state of Washington? Why did it impact our nursing home industry the way that it did? Medicaid, how does that launch into telemedicine initiatives to help bring better health care into folks so they don't have to come out of their houses? We learned a lot. We're going to be ready for this the next time it comes, and it will come again during the months of November, December, January, February. When folks come inside and they're not able to be outside, that leads towards a greater chance of spreading a virus. So it's up to New Yorkers. The governor has talked about this. The hygiene, masks, how we behave really is going to be illustrative of what the state will happen and how bad this impact will be. But local governments need the federal government to help us. We need, because of the loss of billions of dollars of sales tax receipts, because of the loss of hotel occupancy tax revenues, or mortgage recording taxes. Really, not just the pause order really paused human behavior in the state of New York and sheltering in our homes and in our businesses. We had to shut down everything. That had an economic injury, and we need the federal government to help. It's not just about the state of New York. It's about the states and the local governments and the thousands of local governments across the United States. Initially, I didn't think the Congress cared about the state of New York, about local governments in the state of New York. But now, I think it's a different story. We're starting to see 35, 40 states experience what New York State went through. And so maybe the Congress has their attention now that local governments truly need to get help here to help their local economies, to keep people employed so that we can continue with our public health response, our testing, our tracing, our quarantining. We need resources to properly fund public safety E911 dispatch and emergency operations centers. That's what counties are focusing on as we go into this next wave.
Well, there was several million dollars made available in local aid from the CARES Act. Then the House took up the HEROES Act, which included more in direct, bailout funds. That is now in the Senate. Why wasn't that first amount from the CARES Act sufficient?
Well, the CARES Act was a very important piece of legislation that came out of the United States Congress. However, most of the New York counties and certainly all of the New York local governments were not eligible for that funding stream. That only applied to counties or municipalities greater than 500,000 in population, and there's just a handful of them in the state of New York. Erie, Monroe, Nassau, Suffolk, and Westchester counties were the counties that were able to access that, as well as the state of New York. But there was a fatal flaw in the U.S. CARES Act, and that was it could not be used for revenue loss. That was a different take than the United States Congress did in 2009 when they did allow revenue loss to be eligible for federal assistance. So that's the big change here. The HEROES Act was an outstanding piece of legislation. Of course, it cost $1 trillion to the federal government. Not likely going to see that bill become a law. We are hoping that the Congress convenes, that they develop a consensus to meet the needs of the Senate majority and the states in which those Senate Republicans represent. What will it take to get them to the table? We think they're going to do a state and local fiscal relief package. This was missing from the U.S. CARES Act and the prior pieces of legislation. They have to address the payroll protection plan. They have to address unemployment. They have to address the state and local fiscal relief. I think we're probably looking at about half of the revenues that were identified in the HEROES Act. But let's make no mistake about it. Any form of revenue from the federal government will go a long way towards helping the people of New York State who suffered terribly.
Even if the Republicans in the Senate get on board with some sort of compromise bill here, and as you say, it's unlikely to be the $3 trillion HEROES Act, which, they said had a lot of pet projects in it and so on, that's still not going to make up for the budget forecast for the state of New York, including, aid to municipalities, education funding that's already on the chopping block. So how much money, what do counties actually need? What is feasible for counties to get?
Well, we have to. New York State and its local governments are very unique in the responsibilities that the state of New York requires its local governments, the counties in this particular case, to fund. We fund all federal
Medicaid,
health and human services programs, Medicaid. We do public health clinics, mental health services, all social services providing families in need with services, child care, cash assistance, emergency housing, responding to domestic violence situations, child and adult protective care services, and aging programs for our vulnerable seniors. We are looking at a double whammy here. We have lost several billion dollars potentially in revenue from sales tax and from hotel, motel occupancy taxes and mortgage taxes. And on top of that revenue loss, we are now bracing for a 20 to 30% elimination of state reimbursement for state programs and services services, state programs and services that are required to be delivered by the counties across the state. And in the middle of all this, the state is addressing a $13 billion budget gap. So these cuts have already started. We're getting cut in our road and our bridge construction and our maintenance programs, our mental health services, addiction services, social services programs. So we have to address the loss, not just for the city of New York, which will require billions in aid. We have to address the counties, which is approaching that same amount of revenue loss of about several hundred millions, upwards of $1 billion. And then we have to meet the needs of the state. So we have multiple levels of jurisdictions here, the federal government needing to help the state, New York City, the counties, our cities across the state who need assistance as well. It's very serious, with 70 to 80% of a typical county budget mandated by the state of New York and the federal government, the cuts and the revenue losses will bring some counties to the brink of insolvency.
How soon?
We will get through 2020. We will be cutting. We will have to make mid-year budget cuts. Counties have already imposed eliminating all unnecessary travel, instituting hiring freezes, making potential furloughs permanent through layoffs, implementing separation agreements, reducing summer employment, reviewing all contracts and freezing capital projects and non-mandated contractual arrangements. We are curtailing road and bridge projects, reducing planned public facilities projects, and eliminating or outsourcing of certain county services. These are very important programs such as mental health, substance abuse clinics, nursing homes. Counties are now actually selling these assets, which are public assets, because they are no longer in a position to provide these services. So we might be able to get through July, August, and September before we have to make mid-year budget adjustments. Counties and the state of New York have to have a balanced budget. Unlike the federal government, there's no way out of this except for furloughs, layoffs, cutting community programs, contracts for services and goods that serve the public. But the pressure will build as we get into August and September, and 2021, without this fiscal relief, will be an absolute disaster.
What's NYSAC's position on the possibility of a new millionaire's tax in the state of New York?
I don't think we need to be taxing people more. I think we need to be addressing our spending before we actually look towards increasing taxes. The people of New York State pay a very high disproportionate amount of property taxes. We were assaulted by the federal government with the implementation of the SALT, the state and local tax, being able to exempt those taxes from federal income taxes. So I don't think now is the time to drive wealthy people either out of our state. I think we need to be coming up with incentives to help keeping people in our state. We're in the middle of a census count right now where we are trying to maintain the number three status in the United States, with Florida taking the number four status, with Florida taking the third most populous state. Every person counts in this state, and we need to do a greater job than ever before on making sure that the people of New York State are counted in this 2020 census count.
It's just such an interesting time because no one knows what's going to happen a month, 6 months out. How can counties budget for next year right now, given the fact that we don't know what the federal government will be doing? The governor now has the power to revisit the state budget every few months. So how can people even plan ahead?
Well, the government is very complicated on a regular day in a pandemic. It becomes exponentially more complicated to operate. Why? Because we're losing the revenues that we had in place, what would have been a very strong growth year of maybe perhaps 4% increase in sales tax, we're now looking at negative 4% loss of revenue in sales tax. So it was a dramatic impact, a sudden impact on our economy. We are running models right now. If you look at this, will it be a V curve? Meaning the impact of the loss of revenues went down suddenly and it will shoot right back up in an economic recovery. Will it be a W? Will it go up and down and up and down before we have some sense of predictability? I kind of think it's going to track along a U shape. Where we lost that sudden revenue and we're going to be down for a several period of months, uncertain how long, uncertain what the federal government will do. And then eventually that other side of that U will come up. And when we look back at 2009, again, it took us about 10 years to get through that recession. These were depressionary losses. The amount of people that were unemployed were representative of 25% of society. That was the Great Depression numbers. So there's a lot of variables that are in play right now. How long will the pandemic happen? What will happen with that second wave? How can we properly budget in a fiscal climate where the state of New York is facing a $13 billion budget deficit? I think we have to look at programs and services. We have to look at reducing our expenditures at the state level. We have to look at the mandated responsibilities that the state is mandating on the counties to fund. It's not fair just to shift costs from one unit of government to another. The state to the counties, meaning that the local taxpayers will have to pick up that additional expenditure on behalf of the state. We're not in a position, we have no capacity to pick up the state's bill on any given day, let alone during a pandemic. So as we approach September, October, a lot rides on the federal government action. A lot of interest will be on the Congress to convince their peers from across the United States of why this is important, not just to local governments, but to the states. The government economy is very important to the private sector economy. They are interconnected together. So a lot on the line here as we go through July, August, and September, hoping Senator Schumer can lead the Democrat conference and work with Leader McConnell and bring together some consensus to address the private sector concerns, which the Senate majority appears to be interested in, some immunity-type provisions. I understand the Senate is looking at for businesses to reopen. And then we have our school system, which needs to be addressed as well, and the Congress looking towards providing funding towards the reopening of our schools, which is just around the corner. So that's another unit of a government operation that needs to be addressed as well. You have the state of New York and its needs, and you have the counties and its needs, and the cities and its needs, but you also have to address the school districts, which are in dire fiscal situation as well.
Just last thing, I mean, do you think that it is a good idea to have in-person schooling in the fall? Do you think that's where we're going?
I think the impact of the virus affects individuals differently. It affects the elderly, the most vulnerable persons with the underlying health conditions in a very severe, acute way. The data, the science, we have to understand it. We have to understand the impact on K through 6 grades. Does it impact that student body in a different way than it does than it might through a ninth grade through 12th grade high school? How can we use the existing assets that we have within a particular school district to properly social distance? We're all going to need to be wearing masks. It's going to continue until we have a vaccine that's proven to address the COVID virus. But until such time, we're going to need to wear masks and we're going to need to safely social distance. I think the children need to be educated. It's not something that we can afford not to happen. So whether it's in person, through e-learning or a combination of both, If it's a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and a Tuesday, Thursday on an e-learning basis, it needs to be all addressed, and I think the state is handling that in a very smart way, having the districts submit plans to the state so the state education department can evaluate those plans in consultation with the governor's and the Department of Health guidance on how to reopen school districts. We have to do it a smart, safe way because it has just a spiraling effect with children contracting the virus and then spreading it to their parents and their grandparents and their neighbors, friends, and teachers and so forth. So it's again, something we cannot repeat what happened to us in 2020. It will just be mentally, economically, physically too much to bear. So as we reopen our phases of the private sector, as we reopen our school districts, all has to be interconnected to data, science, and public health measures.
Stephen Aquario is executive director of the New York State Association of Counties, and as you can hear, he's got a tough job right now. Stephen, thanks so much for your time.
Ian, thank you again for focusing on this important issue.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. As always, thanks for listening, and until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.